And now, winner of three Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence.
In your face, Milwaukee!
Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, good morning. Good morning to you. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. Packers beat the Dolphins 31-12. Breaking it down with you on a Green and Gold Monday. Get in right away, 799-1250. With the toy drive coming up, our WSSP toy drive is coming up in a couple of weeks. And so we're getting excited for that. 1057fmthefan.com. I want to take everybody back 2 years ago, Freems, where we were sitting there. It was a Tuesday morning because the Packers had played the night before on a Monday. And at that point, the Packers were 4-6. And Rodgers said, you know what, I think we can run the table. They got the win on Monday night against the Eagles 27-13. They improved to 5-6. And we opened the show and things were pretty, you know, it's 6:02 in the morning and we're going to ease into the show. And then I get interrupted by you and you start saying, the Pack is back. The Pack is back, baby. And I'm saying, whoa, Chuck, it's just one game against the Eagles team that wasn't very good at the time. The Packers are 5-6. They are far from back. You said, nope, the Pack is back. The Pack ended up being back. They win their next five. They go into the playoffs at a pretty good clip. It kind of feels like it might be setting up for another Chuck Freeman, the Pack is back, after they beat the Dolphins yesterday, go 4-4-1. Chuck, are the Pack back?
Yeah, they came from way back. I'm trying to remember who their last loss was against, though. What was
They got smoked by Washington.
They got smoked at Washington.
Then the week before that, they got smoked by Tennessee.
At Tennessee,
which was one of McCarthy's worst losses.
Yeah, y'all, God, that was terrible. Yeah, they got down early and tried to play catch up in that game.
Yeah, it was bad.
You know, I had a different feel 2 years ago. I did. I don't feel the same way right now. Can they make a run? Yeah, they just don't seem to be the jointed team that they were 2 years ago, where they had better parts. I feel like they were eventually going to turn the corner. And Rodgers was healthy back then. He's not healthy right now, okay? Although last night, you know, two guys carried the way. Aaron Jones, Davante Adams. They were, you know, those two guys on the field led the way to a victory. You know, it was, Rodgers getting the ball in the hands of Devontae. And then, of course, the work that Aaron Jones did all afternoon long, especially there in the first quarter. But I'm going to say I think they're going to make a run at it. It's tough to say they're going to make a run. I thought they were back. I just had a different feel back then. I can't go there just yet. I can't go there. No, I can't go there. No, because they got two tough games coming up. Bart, if they had another home game coming up to get on maybe a little momentum roll, but they're going to have a Seattle team here that's lost a few now and then go into Minnesota the following week on a Sunday. This is with the short rest going into this Thursday game on the West Coast, I don't like it. I don't like it. And I went back and forth with Michael Cohen on it. I didn't like it. I don't like the way the schedule is set up. I think the schedule is going to get the best of them, where they did not get enough victories early in the season, and it's going to cost them because now, Bart, they're expecting the Pack is back. For me to use that slogan, they're going to have to go into Seattle and win, and they're going to have to go into Minnesota. I don't think this team is at a point where they could go on the road and get victories like that. Although, you know, yesterday was kind of an old-school victory. You want to call it an old-school victory, just like the good old days, where a team came in here, 5-4 Miami, and the Packers made them look worse than that.
Okay, let me ask you then, if you're hesitant to say the Pack is back, do you think that I think the Pack is back?
Okay. Because that would be like me saying the Pack is back 2 years ago. That would be something like you would say about the Milwaukee Bucks.
Sure.
Or the Brewers.
Like with the Bucks. With the Bucks right now, I am all in. I think this 2-2 road trip they had was a good one. I'm all in on the Bucks. I think they're going to be maybe a top two team in the Eastern Conference when the season is done before the playoffs. So yeah, I am all in on the Bucks. And there's been a history of me sort of letting myself get there quicker than maybe other people. The pack is back. You saying that 2 years ago was a real Bart move, but you were right. You were right, because then they won six in a row.
Okay.
So do I think, after that win yesterday, 31-12, that the pack is back?
I am going to say, where normally I would say, Bart's going to come on the air and say, oh, you know what? The Packers are back in this thing. They're ready to go. They're going to make a push toward the Super Bowl. I think you're going to go the other way, and you're with me on this one, and say, not so fast.
Chuck, I think the Packers are about as bad as they've been all year, and yesterday did nothing to me. And if it did anything, it maybe just reconfirmed all the problems I think that the team has. I don't think they're back by any means, and it would be nice if one of us did for that classic sports radio back and forth, but we're going to need that from the listeners today. If you guys think the pack is back, 414-799-1250, because I don't think they are. Yeah, they won 31-12. There was a series of maybe three drives where the fortune of this game turned, but against a better quarterback, against a better team, they're not winning that game yesterday. I don't think the score is reflective of the type of game that was played at all. And I think they're going to go to Seattle now and get destroyed. And I'm going to follow them out there as a fan, and I'm going to pay hundreds of dollars for this trip, and I'm going to watch them lose. And I don't know why I'm going to do that, but I am. Sure, there's a glimmer of hope that the Packers could win, and Seattle's not that great either, and their only opening is a 2.5-point favorite the Seahawks are at home, which I'm surprised about. But I do not think they are back. In fact, I think there's – it just reconfirmed how bad I think they are. They're a bad football team.
I did see one of your tweets where you said the Packers are terrible. I saw that one.
So a little bit of a heads up.
I was I didn't see anything else. I didn't know if that was a reference to anything, but I just saw that.
I tweeted after the punt got blocked, but then the Packers held him to a field goal, and then they scored on the next drive, and then Breland had the interception. So everything did kind of turn immediately after I wrote that, but I stand by that. I think the Packers are terrible. The problem is the Dolphins are brutal.
Dolphins
is not as bad as brutal.
Was that the worst 5-4 team you've ever seen in your history of sports that came into Lambeau Field? I mean, the Packers are getting all its credit for their defensive play yesterday. I'm looking at it more about the ineptitude of the Miami Dolphins. You know, they get into the red zone time and time again, and they're coming away with field goals or inside the 35-yard line. And they're coming away with field goals. They're getting gifts. They take the opening drive, move downfield, and you know they botch the snap. The Osweiler messes it up, and they turn the ball over. They had something beautiful going. I think if the Dolphins would have scored in that opening drive, maybe it's a different story. But no, they're settling for field goals, and the Packers weren't exactly blowing these guys out of the water either. It was kind of a slow blowout, but. Again, this is kind of an old-school victory for the Packers when they went out there and beat a team that's just not very good. Now, go on the road against Seattle and go on the road against Minnesota, Barton, get back-to-back wins, and then maybe I'm going to buy into it a little bit more.
Yeah, no, Osweiler made three mistakes in this one. A better quarterback, a better team, maybe even if they had Ryan Tannehill, the Dolphins get the win. But that first drive, Frank Gore was running all over you, and the snap went over his head, or it was too high for him. He couldn't hang on. Packers recover. The end of the first half, Dolphins are trailing 14-9. He has Devontae Parker wide open, and he would have walked in for a score, overthrows him. And then in the second half, it's an interception to Breland, who played the ball well, but it was a badly thrown ball. No quarterback should ever be throwing it where Osweiler was throwing it. Packers, were opportunistic and made the most of what the other team was giving them, and you have to get credit for that. You absolutely do. You won a football game, you get the credit, but it was not a good team that they beat, and so I don't look any more confidently in the Green Bay Packers as I did 24 hours ago.
Yeah, although there's a couple of positives in that game, and I named them earlier. Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones we'll talk a lot about today.
Yep, fans wanted Aaron Jones to get more touches, and he did. And, at the end of the first quarter, when he's got like 98 yards, I think it is. You know, it looks like he's going to set the singles game rushing record. But, you know, he's got a big run in there, too, and they gave him the ball 15 times. But it looked like he was well on his way, and it did. He had around 146 yards. So, yeah, he had a solid day. The Packers' defense, I think, was, again, they are going to get the credit for not allowing the Dolphins in the end zone, but Miami had a large part of that because they're terrible. And, but the Packers got a serviceable victory against a bad team that just is not very good.
It's like when you beat your 13-year-old kid in one-on-one hoops in the driveway.
Yeah.
Yeah, he scored some points, but you didn't let him dunk it on you because he's a 13-year-old kid.
Yes.
You're superior to him.
Yes, it's like when I beat my 7-year-old at checkers. He's going to miss a lot of times to jump me all the time. He's just going to overlook it. And then I'm going to point it out to him, and he's going to realize it. He's going to make the same mistake 2 minutes later. That's what the Miami Dolphins were yesterday. They were like the 7-year-old kid you play checkers against. He's going to give you all – you're going to give him all sorts of opportunities to beat you, and he's not going to take advantage of it.
It's Chuck and Winkler, or served up by Perkins. Want to hear from you guys, 799-1250, 414-799-1250. Are the Pack back? 414-799-1250.
The Pack beats Miami, and we're talking about the win with you all day.
A lot of guys contributed. It was a good team win for us.
So it's something we can build off of.
It's an Aurora Sports Health Green and Gold Monday on The Fan. Find a sports health provider and make an appointment at aurora.org.
We had two tough losses in a row, a lot of travel, you know, heat game and all those things add up. But I think our team has done a good job dealing with it. And you got to win the preparation contest each week. And, you know, I think our team has done a good job of that. They were beat down on Wednesday. And I thought the Thursday, Friday, Saturday coming into the game is what you're looking for. And, you know, we got the result that we intended to get today.
Right. That's, you know, try to win football games. Good for you, Mike. They got it done. Packers improved to 4-4-1. That NFC race, though, looking at that, it's a little murky for the Packers, despite the win yesterday, and a lot of things going the Packers' way. We'll get into that throughout the show. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. 414-799-1250. Asking you right away, just trying to get a gauge on people. Is the Pack back, Chuck? Is the Pack back or are the Pack back? Because I said are the Pack back, but I think it should be is the Pack back.
Are the Pack back. I think it's are the Pack. Is the Pack back.
Is the Pack back. Are the Pack back.
Are the Pack back. Are the Pack. It would be are the Packers back.
Yeah, okay, maybe.
Yeah, for.
Yeah, it would not be is the Packers back.
Yeah,
okay.
Is the Packers.
All right, okay.
It'd be are the Packers back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is the Pack back.
Are the
Pack back.
The Pack is back. Yes or no?
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I like that.
Oh, Clemsy.
414-799-1250. We'll hear from Mike Clemens later this hour. Let's go out to the phone, 799-1250. Let's go to Tim, who's in Fredonia. He's been starting us off the last few weeks. What's up, Timmy?
Well, Bart, you can't bitch at me for not listening. You know, I say thanks for listening. If I say I didn't listen, you say, well, thanks for listening, Timmy. But, see, if I get first out of the shoot, then I'm good.
I mean, I think I kind of know what you're trying to say, but not really, so.
I have no idea.
Get on with it, bud.
Because, Bart, when you were doing the BCS, I didn't even know I was in the top three. And as you go, okay, thanks for listening to them.
Well, just listen to us 20 hours a week, like you should, and then okay. We won't have that problem.
Yeah, guys, I was up there yesterday, and it's are the Packers back, because it's plural, but that's okay. It's another bunch.
Is the Pack back?
It is the Pack because you're singular there. The
okay.
Pack is a singular thing.
And then are the Packers back. Okay. All right.
I'm an MPS graduate, and I got that figured out. But anyway.
Oh!
I was up there yesterday, and they're not bad guys. I mean, they do some good things, but, I mean, Tremont Williams returning a punt 20 yards and any fumbles. It's just, and the penalties, the false starts. It's just. They're not a very good football team.
Tim, I don't think your phone's back.
It isn't?
No, it's kind of not great.
Is that better?
Yeah.
That's a little better, yeah.
All right. Synchronized. They're not synchronized, guys. They're not in tune. Too many mistakes for a veteran ball club like this. And I think it just, at the end of the day, it falls back to coaching, guys. They got some good players. The young guys are playing. They beat a bad football team. Now, if they go into Seattle on Thursday, They come out with a 27-21 win. Okay, now they're putting some stuff together. But you know what? The Bucks had a 2-2 road trip. Go Bucks. They look great, so we'll see what happens. And you guys have a good Monday. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
See you, Timmy.
And Mike McCarthy has his press conference yesterday, Bart, and after the game, and he, you know, he's for the first time, you know, he's not sweating bullets up there.
Yeah, he actually cracked a smile or two.
Yeah, exactly. Not the normal Mike we've seen in the last couple of weeks. Going to, you know, it lasted more than 90 seconds like his previous one. Because there was nothing really to complain about. I mean, Miami was missing three offensive linemen to start the day. So they had, they had a bunch of sacks, the Packers did. They were getting to the quarterback. But again, it's not because the Packer pass rush is all that great. You know, the Dolphins were really, really of their five starting offensive linemen, three of them didn't start the game. So they were able to do a few things like Kenny Clark and Dean Lowry. Even we saw Montrevious Adams get in the mix. And, of course, Kyler Fackrell has got five sacks in the season. Who would have guessed?
Oh, Chuck, I know you were at the game, but it felt like on TV. So Kevin Harlan's on the call.
Mm-hmm.
And Rich Gannon. And this last year, the preseason team was Kevin Harlan and James Lofton. And Rich Gannon went back to Oakland to do the Oakland preseason, because these different announcers will do, as we know, different teams preseason. But it was good to hear those guys back together. And it was the CBS graphics, because it was on CBS, and that's what they use in the preseason 2 years ago. And it was dark out with the lights being on. And as soon as Kevin Harlan's talking about Montrevious Adams, I just thought, man, this is a preseason game. This feels to me 100% like a preseason game. I'm barely paying attention now in the fourth quarter. I'm hearing guys like Raven Green and Tony Brown and all these other guys that I know a lot of Packer fans, even as invested as you get into this team, you're still like, who? So it felt like a preseason game watching it on TV, especially at the end.
Yeah, and Raven Green.
Raven Green.
He'd be one of those guys who was a undrafted, trying to make the roster, which he did. Okay. And, he's a guy who's going to take advantage because of the depleted secondary. And he's getting into the game. And, you know, he had the safety blitz. He had a sack. And, you know, he made a few plays back there. He's a guy who's emerging from, I want to say, James Madison that he played, of all places. We had an intern this past summer from James Madison University. And I asked him, I said, you ever heard of Raven Green? Never heard of him, he said. Okay. I said, well, you've probably never been to James Madison football games. He goes, yeah, no interest. That's, that's the subdivision one level. But, Raven Green, if anybody didn't know who he was, he kind of, he merged on TV yesterday, mostly because people remember him because of the name.
Well, he had a pick, and then he had the fake punt.
Yes. Well, so, yeah, yes, the direct snap to him, sure.
So they were, he's a nice kind of coming up for me, right? I guess.
The name, if he was Tony Green, you wouldn't remember it. But Raven Green sounds like a wrestler's name almost.
799-1250, let's go to John in Franklin. Johnny, what's up, bud?
Boys, it's good to be back on the winning end. And I think we should try to enjoy this one a little bit. And, because I don't know how many more victories we're going to have to celebrate this year, quite frankly.
Green didn't have a pick.
I'm relieved to hear your takes on this, because my concern was we were going to overblow the success of this game, and Miami is not a good team. Osweiler is a terrible quarterback, and their starting tackles were gone. You know, somehow I know we're approaching now, getting near the top of the league in sacks, and somehow I still don't think we have good pressure. At one point there was 19 possessions and they had one sack. I don't think that's a good stat for the team. But number 23 continues to impress. I was so wrong about this kid. This kid's a football player. I mean, he's all over these receivers, and when they catch a ball, he's all over them. And I keep waiting for a flag, and he must be doing it within the rules. So he's a football player. I love that kid. 83. Let's stop with these 5 yard or the 4 yard behind the line of scrimmage passes to 83. Let's get him in space. Let's get him running up the field, challenging the safeties. Cause that crap wasn't working. This kid's a sprinter. We need to get him on the loose. So I hope that little experiment has to go. Now on the special teams, it seems like every single punt or kickoff return, there's a fumble or a flag. And go back and check the tape and see if I'm wrong on that one. Scott, I think he's going to be a good one. But, brother, you're not Alabama. You don't have 12 seconds to punt the football in the NFL. You need to get that ball off quicker. And how did you get fooled on that fake punt? Half the stadium was drunk, and they knew that they were going to fake that punt. They could have told them they were going to do it. And if you think you're not going to face that in Seattle, you're kidding yourself, because they may not punt the ball. They may go every time until we figure out how to stop somebody.
Yeah, the special teams coach, Ron Zook, man, he's had a few slip-ups this season, and you point directly at him. And you know, I think there's some questions, you know, yesterday. Wow, boy, is Ron Zook in danger of losing his job? Well, they all might be losing their job. So I think we need to hold off on that a little bit.
Well, the Packers, John, thanks for the call. The Packers had a lot of problems on special teams. The punt got blocked. There was the fake punt that duped them. Tremont Williams fumbles. And so a lot of people were commenting, whether it was online or to your friends, fire Ron Zook. And then when the Packers run a fake punt of their own, as we mentioned to Raven Green, that's not the time to say, what do you think of Ron Zook now? No. Mm-hmm.
No.
I mean, it doesn't erase all the blemishes that they did have on special teams. That unit is not great. And John's right. Every time that there's a 25-yard return or more, I don't get excited because I just start looking for the yellow flag. And guess what? It's always there. So, yeah, Ron Zook, if by some miracle Mike McCarthy makes it to next season, I think he would be doing so with a different special teams coordinator. But if that happens, I mean, if all this happens this season and then the one thing they change is the special teams coordinator, give me a break.
Yeah, well, I McCarthy's got a lot of things to do to keep his job. He's got many things to do. So, and well, of course, what happens too is when, people are aware, when a head coach gets fired, that means his whole staff is done. The Packers may say, oh, they, you know, other players, you know, the coaches can come back and interview for their jobs. No, the whole staff is done. They're all done. Everybody's done. So, and as far as that Raven Green, the direct snap to him and the fake punt, I thought that was a foolish call at the time. You're up 16 points in the fourth quarter, and that's the time that the big guy, McCarthy, calls for a fake punt? Jeez. I mean, what, at midfield there? He also went for it at midfield earlier in the game, which I thought was a dumb move. You know, I mean, the Dolphins were moving the ball on you. Granted, they were kicking field goals, but that was also a stupid call by McCarthy. What's he doing going for it for fourth and one and two at midfield? And just ridiculous.
I liked the motive behind it. The play call was fine when they went for it on fourth and two, but I didn't like the execution. And part of that was because Aaron Jones wasn't out there. We'll talk about that momentarily. I want to get to Dana quickly before an update. Dana and Cudahy. Hey, Dana, what's up? You're on Chuck and Winkler, the best show ever.
Hi, Dana.
You know what? I agree, the best show ever.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
So, you know, this offense, Miami is terrible. Like, seriously, they're terrible.
Brutal.
Brock Osweiler is terrible square. And why we couldn't put them away? This game should have been won in the first half. The offense is stale. My fear is that we win enough games for Mike McCarthy to keep his job. It's time for him to go. I like Mike McCarthy, great football coach. He has had his run in Green Bay, and it's time to move on. We need a different voice. We need a different brain behind the play calling or whoever's calling the plays. It's just this team is not – it's hard to watch. I couldn't even finish watching the football game. I knew we were going to win because Miami is that bad. So I turned the game off. It's just not crisp. We missed Geronimo and we missed Randall. And it's time, it's time for a new regime. Chuck, you took my thunder. The play call, the fake punt, what is that about? We're up 15 points. There's no need for that. It just doesn't make any sense. I don't understand. When we're early in the game and other games, well, maybe we should fake a punt. We don't. In this game, we're up against a bad team and we're faking punts.
It sort of seemed like the fake punt was done as just like you want to fake a punt? I'll fake a punt. That's what it felt like to me.
Oh, see, I didn't know. Like I said, I wasn't really paying a lot of attention.
Yeah, the Dolphins faked the punt, and then the Packers a couple drives later did. So it felt like to me that McCarthy had no intention of faking a punt, because they never do. They never do.
Never.
No.
Never.
Even though fake punts were like in vogue yesterday in the NFL, but it felt like that was only a, or maybe it was Zook's call, because Zook was getting his ass burned as a special teams coach.
If that doesn't work, why are you going to give the Dolphins good field position in the fourth quarter?
I'm in the tank club, fellas. Up 16. It's time to start tanking so that way Mike doesn't get his job back.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to have to tank.
I think they're going to get their ass kicked not on purpose on Thursday and then probably the Sunday after that.
Yeah, I think the Packers aren't a bad team.
Dana.
I don't think the Packers are a bad team. The Dolphins are a bad team. The Packers are an average team.
No, they're
an average team.
This is what we'll talk about. They're a bad team, but they're a good bad team. The Packers are, of all the bad teams, they're the best.
Well, no, I see. I'm looking at them as a middle of the road team, a team that's going to go out there and beat Miami.
Yeah, that's a good bad team. They will beat the bad teams and they'll lose to the good ones. They're a good bad team.
That would be average then. Now, you and I are basically saying the same thing with just different vocabulary, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm doing more of a marketing branding exercise.
A good bad team. You know, they're not Oakland. They're not Oakland, but you know, they're not the LA Rams and teams like that.
A quick note on Oakland. There's reports that Jordy Nelson might be just retiring like today.
Really?
Yeah. So I got to look more into that. But there's reports that that's going down.
Interesting.
Well, he's not doing anything.
Well,
he had
still,
a good week one and then decent week two and then...
Yeah, but he still wants to be paid.
Well,
because he doesn't
everyone wants to be paid.
Well, then, huh?
Everybody wants to be paid.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, Bart, he went to Oakland so he can get a paycheck. Of course everybody wants to get paid, but he went to Oakland to get paycheck. I mean, if he retires, that means he's done. He never gave us any indication when he was the Packers last year that the end of the line was coming. He've always said that he's always said he's had a lot in the tank and he wants to play for a few more years. So for him to retire late in the season like this, first of all, I'd be really surprised if that guy would just quit on his team like that and retire, number one. And number two, I would be surprised if he would retire because he would be losing out on some paychecks because he said he still's got that fire and he wants to play yet. Unless he's gone out to Oakland and he's totally disheartened by the NFL.
Scott Gulbranson, who is a sports talk host, 1140 in Vegas, so they're covering the Raiders. He tweeted last night, Jordy Nelson done. And then a senior analyst out there, also at the radio station, same one, says, just heard Jordy Nelson will be retiring tomorrow. So it's two Jamokes like you and me. The Vegas version of us that are speculating.
We'll see.
On the Jordy Nelson situation.
I'd be skeptical. I'd be skeptical that Jordy would step down during the regular season. Now, if he was going to retire, he might say, hey, at the end of the season, I'm going to retire. But I don't think he would just immediately up and remember, there's a guy in Buffalo did that at halftime of a game a few months ago, and he got crucified for it. I don't think Jordy would retire during the season. That's quitting on your team.
Matt Schneidman, who is an Oakland Raiders beat writer for Mercury News. Where's that paper?
San Jose.
Yeah. One Raiders veteran to another on his way out of the locker room past three reporters, including myself. I got to get the F out of here. The speculation is that was Jordy. So we'll find out. We'll see. 414-799-1250. More on this 31-12 win over the Dolphins, but doesn't mean the pack is back. Want to hear from you guys coming up.
No!
Was a heck of a drive. Here's the Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios. I'm Bart, that's Chuck. The drive of the game coming at the end of the first quarter. Dolphins with a field goal, so they kick off, and Lucas Patrick, offensive lineman, takes it and decides to run into a crowd of people, ends up being evaluated for a concussion out of the game, which, I don't know, why he just doesn't go out of bounds, whatever. Next play, Aaron Jones, it's first and 29 at the Green Bay 29-yard line.
319! 319!
Jones finding a great gap, and there he goes. Foot race with Howard. Foot race with Minka Fitzpatrick. Jones inside the five. What a gallop. 66 yards.
So the Packers get all the way down to the 4-yard line. Aaron Jones for two, and then Aaron Jones for two more.
St. Brown is on the move. Aaron Jones. They're shoving him. They're pushing him. Bell is pushing him in for the 2-yard touchdown. With some help from the backside.
We just got to get things rolling. We got to finish games. Bend but don't break, and just get things rolling, like I said. And we got all the weapons and guys in this locker room, and we can do it.
Three plays, 71 yards, a buck 25 off the clock. That is your wrench and go drive of the game. If you need auto parts, wrench and go, a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around wrench and go. Can't say enough, Frames, about the work of Aaron Jones yesterday.
Yeah, 15 carries. It wasn't like he went out there and went 25 carries for a buck 46. He had that long run in there, and they were able to rest him in the fourth quarter when the game was pretty much locked in for a Packer victory. And they'll keep him fresh for the Thursday game coming up against Seattle. Now, of course, the Packer game would not be without a few injuries. And, Nick Perry went out of that game. Lost Jair Alexander to an injury. He left. But mostly that game was centered around on Aaron Jones' victory. But despite all the injuries the Packers had, he was able to come through. And, 15 for buck 45, two touchdowns, that's a day's work right there.
799-1250, plenty to talk about regarding Aaron Jones. We were talking before the break about the rumors that Jordy Nelson may be retiring and wanting out of Oakland. Let's go out to Andy, who's in Heartland. 799-1250, what's up, Andy?
Hey, good morning, Andy. Gentlemen. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Not too bad. Hey, I got somebody here wants to say hello real quick.
Sure.
Hi, everybody. How you doing? Just wanted to say Aaron Jones looked like a jackrabbit coming out of a hole.
Is this Harry Carey's ghost?
It is. He drives with me once in a while, but anyway, he's gone.
Put him back. I'd rather talk to him.
Well, hi, how you doing there? I really love your show. I mean, you guys are like, you're the best thing on the radio.
Thank you, Harry.
Okay.
Hey.
We've lost Chuck now for the day.
A little bit of a southern voice for Heartland.
A couple things, and I know this is going to sound conspiratorial, but I'm a conspiratorial type of guy. I think Jordy Nelson, if he does retire, he's not going to sign his papers. The Packers are going to sign him out of retirement, quote unquote.
So he's just going to leave Oakland and try to come back?
That would be my.
Can you do that, Chuck? I don't think you can do that.
Can't do that.
Brett Favre.
What's
did
that?
Did he not?
Brett Favre got traded to the Jets.
He got traded to the Jets.
Then he retired
from the Jets. But then he retired from the Jets.
He did retire from the
Jets, but I believe his contract was up though, with the Jets. I think that's how it worked, and I think that's how it worked. He either was retired or he was released by the Jets. One of the two.
Okay, so he can't. Just
he did not come out of retirement. He did not come out of retirement to sign with the Vikings. He came out of retirement to be a Packer.
He came out of retirement to go to the Vikings.
I thought he retired like two or three times.
Well, he did.
He retired in 2008. To show up the Packer training camp, and they traded him to the Jets in late July of 2008.
So that's what I'm saying. So he retired, and then the Packers traded him.
Yeah. So what you think Jordy might do if you're able to do that, then guys from like the Raiders, half of them would retire, and then all of a sudden they're in New England.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No. I think Jordy could ask for his release. He could ask for his release, and then the Raiders would have to comply. Therefore, they wouldn't have to pay him any rest of the contract. There's not a guaranteed contract. So he could ask for his release. They could release him, and then he could become a free agent to sign with anybody.
Okay, but if he just retires, then he retires because he's under contract and he can't come back.
Yeah, he's under contract. Yeah, as Bart just said there. Yeah,
I think he would be then on the Raiders reserve retired list, and then they would have to cut him from that to allow him to go somewhere else.
Or they could trade.
No, the trade deadline's over.
Well, I guess you're right. They could trade him in the offseason.
I think this exercise is futile. He's not coming back here.
Yeah. No, he's not. And I think that's...
Thanks, Andy. Thanks, Harry.
Yeah, they have plenty of receivers. Well, you know, Randall Cobb was hurt yesterday, but they have... The receiving core is not an issue with these guys. They have other guys. No, they're done with Jordy Nelson. They may, down the road, Bart, they may sign Jordy to a one-day contract, one of those things.
Oh, those are so stupid.
I know, but they might do that. That's the only way Jordy would ever come back is on a one-day contract, but he's not coming back to play unless the Packers had a glutton of injuries and he'd get cut by Oakland.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
But, yeah, the trading deadline is passed.
Jordy ain't coming back here.
No.
Jordy Nelson this season, 3 for 23, 2 for 30. Then he was 6 for $173, week 3 against Miami. Okay, well that's why Jordy's best game this season was against Miami at 173 yards and a touchdown. Then he was 5 for 48, 4 for 43, 2 for 6, 1 for 14, 2 for 16. Let's go to Chris, who's on the east side. What's up, Chris?
Hi. Yeah, I just got a question. Did Martellus Bennett do that last year? Retired and signed with the with New England?
No. The Packers cut him.
No, he said he retired, and I think he had to clear waivers or something.
No, I think when you retire, you got to file retirement papers with the league.
I think he might have said, I want to retire or I'm done or something. Packers waived Martellus Bennett November 8th, 2017.
Yeah, they waived him.
Citing a failure to disclose a medical condition, and then he was on waivers. So he never officially was retired.
Yeah, when you retire, you got to officially file papers with the league. And remember all those years when Favre, you know, the 15 times that he retired, it was like, well, he hasn't filed his papers yet.
Well, what's that for? Like their pension?
Everything. It just kicks in your service time is done.
I guess that, but also to avoid situations where people just say, I'm retired, and then land at another team.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk a lot of Jordy Nelson today. He's not coming back here.
No, you can't say, hey, I'm going to retire, and okay, we're done with you, and then the next week show up the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, then that won't happen. Okay. It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. They did win a game yesterday. Let's get the update from Mike Clemens here momentarily. Frames temporarily sounded like you were at a Perkins kitchen back there. Hope everything's good.
Somebody dropped a glass.
Perkins, where everybody can get back to basics because everybody loves a classic. Classic cars, classic movies, classic foods. The folks at Perkins have had classic dishes on their menu for more than 60 years. We're talking timeless fare like the hearty breakfast combos, the piled high sandwiches, the thick, juicy burgers. And right now at Perkins, they've got a full menu of all your old favorites starting at just $4.99. The Fabulous Five Breakfast Combo, that's there. The Timeless Triple Decker Club, that's there. The Juicy Burgers, they've got those as well. And since it's Monday, it's a Pie Society Monday. Free slice of pie after 11 o'clock today when you get a meal at Perkins. Mike Clemens, how'd this one go down last night? He tells us from Lambeau Field.
Now a green and gold update. Here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers get a win here at Lambeau Field, 31-12 over the Miami Dolphins on Veterans Day. Running back Aaron Jones rushed for 145 yards, 2 touchdowns on 15 carries, and said the game was special since both of his parents have served in the armed forces and were in attendance.
It means a lot. I didn't tell anybody, but I made this game for my parents, and so now I got 2 touchdown balls to give to both of them, so... It works out. It's a blessing.
Jimmy Graham, who only had 1 catch for 14 yards, says he doesn't mind going from receiving tight end to a blocking tight end for Aaron Jones.
Oh, I was blocking tonight. Yeah, I was blocking tonight. Yeah, I mean, I know everybody knows me for just, you know, running go routes and snagging touchdowns. But, you know, I mean, I think I've dedicated myself to the run.
A turning point in the game came in the third quarter when Packers defensive back Rashad Breeland picked off a pass intended for Miami's Danny Amendola.
It was an over route. I just got finally got my head around. I really didn't think he was going to throw it the way we had so many droppers underneath. And once I got my head around and I saw the ball coming, I just undercut it, decided to undercut.
Breland returned it for 26 yards. Packers head coach Mike McCarthy.
Start with the defense. I thought our defense did a heck of a job keeping them out of the end zone there a couple times. You know, holding the field goals, two turnovers was big, six sacks. So a lot of guys played on defense. We had a number of injuries.
Safety Kentrell Bryce had to be carted to the locker room with an ankle injury. Linebacker Nick Perry had to be helped off the field with a banged-up knee. The Dolphins' offense, led by quarterback Brock Osweiler, failed to get into the end zone. He also lost a fumble recovered by Reggie Gilbert. Osweiler's team heads into their bye week at 5-5.
You know, this is 2 weeks now, back-to-back, that we've struggled finishing drives in the end zone. You know, I'm the only guy on the team that touches the ball every play on offense, and I need to find ways to be better and to score touchdowns.
For more team coverage, go to 1057fmthefan.com. The Pack beats Miami, and we're talking about the win with you all day.
A lot of guys contributed. It was a good team win for us.
So it's something we can build off of.
It's an Aurora Sports Health Green and Gold Monday on The Fan. Find a sports health provider and make an appointment at aurora.org.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakery. He's coming up just after 7 o'clock. Aaron or Aaron? A poll I put up yesterday as a joke, I think I'm going to have to double down on just the nature of Twitter. We'll explain that coming up in a moment. Michael Cohen from The Athletic, he'll join us at 8 a.m. today, a tad earlier than normal. Asking you throughout the hour, is the Pack back? Rick tweets in at 105.7 FM The Fan. Chuck, he says, I'm not saying they're back, but I'm saying this team is better than you're giving them credit for. Those two road games against the Patriots and the Rams were terrible, yet we almost won both. And I think once we put everything together, look out. With Trevor Davis back next week, offense and defense improving, I have hope.
Well, the Packers, again, I think they could win a game like against Miami yesterday, but you know, this true test is coming up against Seattle and Minnesota, a daunting two-game stretch coming off a two-game road trip the previous couple of weeks. So, can the Packers win the division? Yes. Are the Bears going to let them have an opportunity at this point? Because Chicago just keeps on winning games. And, Bart, not only winning games, but they're winning these games by double digits.
Yeah, last 3 weeks, I think they've been double-digit favorites. I think they were 7 over the weekend, but... They've had high spreads, and they keep covering them. I mean, they're not playing great teams, but they're winning in convincing fashion. I think Minnesota, you know, they've got a better record at this point, so the Packers have to chase them. And then if you're looking at the wild card, you've got a couple teams in the NFC East at 4-5 after last night's game where the Cowboys won. You've got the Redskins at 6-3. You've got the Saints, the Panthers. You know, Atlanta's going to be in there. So there's 10 or so teams that have a shot at this thing, and the Packers – you're going to have to kind of wade through that a little bit. Seattle's 4-5, so this Thursday is a big test. If they split one of these next two games on the road, prime time, Seattle and the Vikings, I still won't say that they're back. I'll say they're closer. I think that the losses that they've had are going to be hard to catch up from. The Redskins one, which I think was a really bad loss. And then the more I see the Lions play, and I know that game was a comedy of errors, and it kind of turned quickly on a bad punt call, but the more I see the Lions play, the more embarrassing it is that the Packers lost to that team.
Yeah, I think the best shot, the Packers, is to win the division, which I think always is the case. There's too many tiebreakers, I think, that leave them on the outside looking in. So I'd say, you know, you got to somehow – you got one game left with Chicago. You have the tiebreaker with Chicago – but the bigger one of these two games coming up with Seattle, Minnesota is obviously, I think, the Viking game. You got to somehow surpass them and make it a two-way race between you and the Chicago Bears. And again, you got that game left to play with those guys.
You think the Viking game is bigger than the Seahawk game?
Yeah. Of course, they're both huge. But if you were to say, hey, you can only have one victory, I think the Minnesota one. Clearing them out, because I think the division title is your best avenue to getting to the postseason.
I can get behind that because they are in your division, but also they are the team you tied. So the tiebreakers are going to come down to
teams with similar records than you, mm-hmm. and unless one of these other teams tie, you know, you're not really going to worry about head-to-head because the record's not going to be the same. But going on a short trip, I mean, if they can win this one, that will change my outlook because this game, I think, I think it's a tougher task than beating Minnesota. I think they can beat Minnesota even on the road, even on Sunday night, you know, 5 times out of 10. I think that's kind of a coin flip game, to be honest, because I don't think the Vikings are as good. I don't think they're good. I don't think the Vikings are good. Either Kirk Cousins plays like crap and the defense plays okay or vice versa. The Seattle game, and while I don't think Seattle's that good either, going to Seattle has never been well for the Packers. It's a short week. My Thursday night theory would come into play where the home team gets the victory unless it's short travel for the road team, which it certainly is not. And so maybe the Vikings game is bigger. I think this is going to be the tougher one to get.
Yeah. Well, we could always do the one game at a time scenario and you'll see where they stand after Seattle. And this one first against the Seahawks Thursday. This is, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, it is post-game press conference, with the sign. I know we got the soundbite there. He a little passive-aggressive talking about, the 3:25 start and then having to take the flight out to the Thursday night football. You could just tell in his voice he didn't like it. Didn't like the fact that they had a late game Sunday and then the first game up on Thursday in the NFL week.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.